Happy Thursday, September 7th on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, live at One Buck Palace here with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. I'm Steve Isbitz here with Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com. Of course, the podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We're so proud to have Ed Morse and the great quality at Ed Morse, more than 70 plus years of Ed Morse dealerships throughout Florida, great family-owned business. I buy my vehicles there at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You're going to get that tremendous service. They are Hillsborough County's Cadillac dealerships at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com and at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. All the new offers are up and ready for September. The great savings continue at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. I'm looking now at a made-to-move 2017 clearance event, including the 2017 XT5 Standard, ultra-low mileage lease for well-qualified lessees, $339 per month. Fantastic offer. All the details on the website and by contacting Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Looks like the weather might hold out, Ira, for Saturday. Everybody can get out and test drive, get some service done. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Also, you want to head to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Start your search there. You know, we usually give details on the offers, but they just came out. And so it's really a great time to really go look at all the offers and make that get that started at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. My favorite right now, 2017 CTS or 2017 ATS sedan. I'm looking at the ATS sedan, $299 a month with zero down. Fantastic time to buy a vehicle, as most of you know. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. We're going to talk a little bit more about them later. And of course, Ira, we just heard all about the fantastic and the greatness of Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. But there is a special event coming up on Saturday at Brandon Auto Mall, Alfa Romeo. Of course, that's Ed Morse. And you are going to be there. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. It is a special Alfa Romeo Italian Street Festival at Brandon Auto Mall, Alfa Romeo. That's 11024 Causeway Boulevard in Brandon. Details are on JoeBucksFan.com. Now, Ira, I just figured out why you're going.
All right, let me hear this.
Live entertainment, authentic Italian food, homemade pizza, gourmet cheeses, antipasto platters, gelato, Italian ice, music, the whole shot from noon to 3. And this is why you will be there.
Where's the beet salad, Steve? I'm going to go in there. Now, listen, Lee, I had planned on getting on a plane Saturday morning and eating those soggy pretzels, you know, sitting in 23A on my way to Fort Lauderdale Airport. And you were going to come to that event that night, Saturday, and then we were going to go to the game. And, Steve, I think I've upgraded. I've traded in, and now I'm going to be at Ed Morse Alfa Romeo in Brandon. You know, do I have a choice of music? Can I get a little Dwayne Allman instead of Bette Midler, Steve? We'll see. We'll see what kind of clout I've got.
Why not Greg Allman? Greg Allman, excuse me. He recently passed. I thought you would honor him.
A very underrated white blues singer, Greg Allman.
Great voice.
Steve, I suggest you get a couple of his old albums and trade in your Monkees albums. Move up to Greg Allman a little bit.
Speaking of blues singers, Ari, you know who's singing the blues? All the good people at fanretreat.com who just said that you're upgrading because you're not going to their fantastic launch event.
I was looking forward to it. I had a speech all prepared.
It was going to be a blast. Fanretreat.com, the first big fan retreat for the company featuring Ira Kaufman.
I feel bad.
So we feel bad that they lost out. But that does not mean fanretreat.com is not there for you for all your travel and ticket needs. And we're going to figure out when we can do this again.
Could be rescheduled.
Yeah, we're going to figure it out. We're actually going to be doing a poll on JoeBucksFan.com related to that and some good stuff planned for fan retreat. So they lost out with the storm, Hurricane Irma. And
Joe Bucks now have looking at a four-day weekend. You got to think some players and their families are going to get out of town, Steve.
And now, last nugget on Saturday, Ira, I will be hounding you there as well. I think I'm going to bring my whole family out there for the Italian festival. I enjoy some good free food as well, and so please join us.
We might even convince the Kemper. We might.
We
know,
might.
You're hanging
might.
That gelato over his head, you know, like a carrot stick.
There's a lot of college football going on Saturday.
It's not too difficult to twist my arm for Italian food.
They always do it right at everything with Ed Morse in the showroom. Or
you have been to some of these events over there, Steve, and you say they're fantastic.
Yeah, we're talking top flight food, entertainment, a lot of fun. And of course you're going to be there, so that's all that matters. All right, Kaufman. The Bucks, as you mentioned, and as everybody knows by now, Hurricane Irma has wiped out week 1. Now we're officially in the bye week. So we're here at $1. You just found out that the NFL and the NFL Players Association is treating this as the bye week. So what does that mean, Ira?
Well, the first thing I think about, Lee, is that some people are going to criticize the league and criticize Goodell because that's what people do. It seems like we're almost at the point where Goodell can't do anything right in the minds of some fans. That's the perception. But I do have to say, and I hope you two do agree, that in a scenario where there were no good choices, the NFL probably made the best choice. And yeah, if I'm a head coach or even a player, I don't want to go 16 straight weeks. And yes, Steve, I'm going to anticipate one of your questions. I'll say it right now. It is a competitive disadvantage for the Bucs and Dolphins. Every other 30 of the 32 teams will have a breather this season to heal up. The Bucs will not. The irony is the bye week came at a heck of a time for the Bucs. I want a late bye week. No, everybody's itching to play right now. They don't want a bye week right now. Do they need an extra time to prepare for Mike Glennon, Mr. DeKemper? Absolutely not. So, you know, Ali Marpet's been thinking about Ndamukong Suh. He's been lulling him to sleep at night. And now he doesn't have to worry about it because he's got extra time to prepare. Steve, there is one little sliver of a silver lining, small. It allows some of the guys that have minor injuries, Daquan Alexanders, McCoy, Evans, Dotson, you know, you would think they are going to be ready to go in the home opener against Chicago. So if you're looking for a little bit of a plus, that's it. Overall, it's a shot across the Bucs' bow. Dirk Cutter doesn't like it. He can't possibly like it. But, hey, Lee, you can't argue with a 185-mile-an-hour storm. It is what it is.
No, obviously there's priorities here, but I think the NFL dropped the ball on this, honestly. They could have played this. Pittsburgh was offering their stadium. Philadelphia was offering their stadium. You know, they could have played on a Friday up in Pittsburgh. They could have played a Friday in Philadelphia. I am convinced one of the reasons they didn't play on a Thursday night, the NFL didn't want the Patriots Chiefs game to be diluted. I'm convinced of that. Call me a cynic if you wish, but I think the NFL dropped the ball in this. Yeah, it's competitive disadvantage for the Bucs. However, there are advantages more so than what you just said, and you glossed over one. I was shocked. You kind of touched upon it, but you glossed over it. Ali Marpet getting an extra week. T.J. Ward getting an extra week to ingrain himself within the defense. Yeah. So there are several positives. Yeah, this, if I could be so blunt, this sucks, but what sucks more is what could very well happen in Florida if a Cat 5 storm hits this state. Guy whining about not having a weekend off in November doesn't cut it with me. I'm sorry.
Stephen Ross didn't want to lose another home game. That could have been a factor. They're playing in London this year, so you know if you played a game in Pittsburgh, all of a sudden Stephen Ross is looking at 6 home games at Hard Rock Stadium.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I heard this driving in. I was listening to Adam Schein, SiriusXM Radio. He works for Mad Dog's channel. You're going to be on Wednesday afternoons, right? Again?
I am.
With Chris Russo, absolutely. The Mad Dog. Anyway, Schein said he's convinced if not for that London game, they would have this game in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia.
And don't forget, the guy spent $500 million, mostly of his own money, to renovate that stadium, and he wants to be rewarded for it. And taking 2 home games away from Ross, you know.
Did he not volunteer that London game, though?
He did.
Okay,
but he didn't anticipate losing another
one. Well, who anticipated this?
Let's get it straight here.
Take it easy.
Take it easy, Kaufman. Take it easy. Let's flash back to Team Glazer, your friends. We know one big reason why they volunteered for those London games. You know why? Because it's a cash windfall, that's why.
And nobody was showing up for Buck home games.
Yeah, when they're filling Wembley with 80,000, the Bucks get a fat check as the home team, and those seats at a premium. There's money in England in those games. This is not some big financial loss by any stretch of the imagination. But I agree with Lee. They could have played this game elsewhere Friday afternoon. Yeah, why does it have to be at the right
time?
You
want to play a game in front of 11,000 people? What is this, a Rays Indians game?
No. That's the 1970s mentality again.
Special circumstances.
The NFL revenue is far more than just gate. Yeah, I'd say again, like Steve said, special circumstances.
I didn't say anything about revenue. Do you want 11,000 people in the stands?
Isn't that what they're doing in San Diego?
Well, they've done it before, Ira. They've moved games before.
Sure.
So, I mean, look, I don't think, my question to you, because this is your podcast, your podcast, the Ira Kaufman Podcast.
And players would have to get back from Pittsburgh. Suppose the storm is slamming into
Florida. Suppose. It's not the way this is going down. Everything's delayed with this storm. It's already been pushed back with the impact. Whatever. Jacksonville was available for them,
too. What are you, Dennis Phillips now? Well, what's going on with you, Isbits? You don't know anything about meteorology?
And the suspenders?
You don't know what I know, Kaufman. You don't know what I know. Now, let's go. But let's forget.
You know anything about the Bay of Campeche? Suppose I say Bay of Campeche. You think that's some team out in Santa Fe, New Mexico. come on now, Isbits.
All right. By the way, the 10,000 you referred to, wasn't there brush fires in Arizona or California not that long ago where they played a Monday night or Tuesday night game at a separate site and there was family and friends only, looked like a FAMU was playing or something?
The game's November 19th, Steve. Live with it.
Okay, so exactly. Now let's go to what's important. You said this is a competitive disadvantage for the Buccaneers.
Yes, I did.
So here's my question. When does that competitive disadvantage kick in?
It doesn't kick in immediately, but it kicks in when you're missing four starters that are banged up on November 10th, and you're hoping they would have got 2 weeks to recuperate, and now they don't. And now they got to get ready to go to Hard Rock Stadium on the 19th. So, look, the Dolphins are in the same boat. 30 teams have a breather. The Bucs and Dolphins don't. It's a competitive disadvantage, and it's driving Dirk Cutter up a wall right now. I can guarantee it.
How long does the disadvantage last? I mean, how big is this disadvantage when you weigh the advantages? Because you can't say there are no advantages. They should be fresher early. They get to start 3 out of 4 at home. They get film on the Bears. How much film will the Bears be watching in the Bucs?
T.J. Ward?
Zero. T.J. Ward gets more time.
You think Brent Grimes has to look more at Mike Glennon to know what Glennon can and can't do?
Come on. You know the advantage of having film on a team versus that team having no film on you?
I don't know about this fresher thing to a degree. Like I said,
initially,
some of those players that need, that are mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. have minor injuries, but overall, from the 53-man roster, I don't think it's going to help these guys necessarily because they were geared up to play. I think it's a letdown. It's a giant mental letdown.
Interesting. I'm going to guess Cutter adjusts his practice schedule for the rest of the year. Maybe cuts down on a few hours during the week. Maybe he gives them Victory Monday virtually every week, regardless of the outcome of the previous game. I just got to think that Cutter is going to adjust the practice schedule because he's really big on keeping guys fresh. We knew this about training camp, but he was big on this last year as well. I just got him and Light, I think, are going to put their heads together and find out some kind of new practice schedule where they won't be practicing as much as they normally would during the regular season.
Now, I know that Isbits.
Wait a minute. Do you buy that? Do you buy that, Ira?
Like I said, no, because I think most coaches feel the players have it fairly easy as it is. And to make it even easier, I think they feel restricted by the NFL safety regulations and concerns in terms of padded practices during the season. Lee, you might be right, but I think if Cutter does it, it's going to be very grudgingly.
Oh, sure.
As the injuries start to accumulate, which they will. It's not a question of when they're going to be injured. Mm-hmm. It's how many injuries they're going to sustain. That's the nature of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
I just think that given what we know about how Cutter would have, he started this last year, walkthroughs at night.
Can't wait for that indoor facility to be topped off.
Yeah. Lee,
that might help.
That's a hell of a point.
You can't lose practices at this point.
That's a great point. Once that thing's built, they can probably be in there full time because he's big on that. Keeping these guys out of the heat. That's a hell of a point, Ira. I didn't think of that. Good point.
Let's get that thing done.
It'll be interesting. There are a few ways to look at it. I see Cutter as a mind games guy, a guy who likes the psychological element of being a head coach. And I think if he changes anything,
maybe he uses it as an edge.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If he changes anything, it's as if he's given in to this no bye week stuff that it's in his head. You know what I mean? Because realistically, this whole no bye week shouldn't make a damn difference until December. That's really when it should kick in. The Bucs were going to have a late bye anyway. So you know what? I don't know. Maybe it translates on the field. Maybe he finally realizes, Cutter, that, okay, I'm up by 3 touchdowns, and I don't need Gerald McCoy out there finishing the game out and closing the game out. And maybe I don't need Jameis out there if we're down 21 points to prove a point, late in the game. So I don't know. There are some ways he can play that.
Now you're playing one of the worst teams in football in your season opener. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about that. You're playing a quarterback that nobody's scared of. That's got a youngster hanging over his shoulder. A lot of pressure on Glennon. He'll have a week under his belt, but
Nobody's scared.
Doesn't play well.
So you're saying he doesn't, you know, his Halloween costume doesn't do it for people?
Well, what I'm saying is the Bucks now have every chance with a healthy lineup that's going to be even healthier than they would have been going to Miami.
An advantage.
Lee, there's no excuse. You got to start with a big win against Chicago. That's how you got to start your season.
Yeah, get up early, the rest of your guys.
You know, bring the stick carriers out in force and give them something to shout about.
You know, look, you're right. You have to beat Chicago because let's just throw in some hypothetical dudes in a bar logic here, okay? You lose to the Bears. If you lose to the Bears, well, there's no logical reason why you should go to Minnesota and win. And then, of course, you're coming home for the Giants. And
the dominoes start to fall.
And then you're starting to look at the draft before October again.
And the Patriots. And then you're talking about the draft because you're 0-4. So you have to win opening day to give yourself some credibility. Otherwise, the whole thing could unravel in a heartbeat, which would be a freaking disaster.
And then what does Team Glazer do?
And, Lee, the Bucks will be solid favorites, you know, against the Bears, you would think, in their home opener.
9 points?
Am I selling the Bears a little short, gentlemen? I don't think I am.
No, they're terrible.
You know, John Fox hanging by a thread.
Well, I think you're way off base, Ira. You know, Bears fans are terrified of Mike Glennon. You said nobody was afraid of him. There are legions of Bucks.
Outstanding, Steven.
There are legions of Bucks fans who shiver at the thought of the guy. I mean, you know,
they got Jordan Howard. He's a good back. You know, but that's basically all they got.
If the Bucks do, as Steve suggested, very well could happen if it unravels quickly, what does Team Glazer do?
If the season unravels and we're talking about a 6-10 season, somebody's going to take a fall.
You think so?
Somebody's going to take a fall.
I can't think that way. They're going to be 9-10-point favorites against the Bears. They got to win that game, and they should be a good football team. I think this whole thing helps them early in the season. They got guys to get healthy. If Quan Alexander was nursing a hamstring, a whole week extra is fantastic.
Boy, Cutter should bring Isbitz out on Monday morning to address the ball club to show how this is an advantage, gentlemen.
Let me quote Jameis Winston, who spoke on Hard Knocks 2 weeks ago. We watched him as he screamed to his team in the pregame huddle, F your circumstances. That's what he told everybody. So you know what? That's Jameis' message.
And what were the first two words of my column, my latest column, Isbitz? No excuses. No excuses. Stay strong. Don't focus on any distractions. And that's 100, you know, that's a giant distraction churning out in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Take care of your families this weekend. Make sure everybody's safe. And come in Monday ready to kick ass and show the Bears who's boss. So competitive disadvantage, yes, but ultimately you got to rise above it, Lee. You have to rise above it.
In one of the Hard Knocks episodes, it might have been the first one, where the team was kind of dragging a little bit. You know, they were getting kind of worn out. And Cutter said, you know, pulled them together, and he said, you think the other 31 teams give a damn that you're tired?
That's right.
You got to use that mentality.
That's right.
Think the other 31 teams give a damn that you didn't have a weekend off in November?
Now, Lee, our comrade, Mr. Isbitz, thinks this is a non-issue, but I'll throw it out there.
Uh-oh.
This pushes back Doug Martin's potential Buck debut.
Yeah, to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. What a night. You know, Malcolm Glazer going into the Ring of Honor and Doug Martin entering the Bucks Ring of Honor against the New England Patriots.
Whoa, wait.
But Isbitz says, not a story, Kaufman. He's not going to be available. He's not going to be on the roster.
Whoa, wait a minute here. Are you suggesting gamesmanship here? That Belichick has to practice against two different running backs?
No, I'm not saying
that. Are you suggesting,
Ira? I'm just saying that if Martin does make his debut in week four, which Steve does not think is likely.
Hey, can I put the proper asterisk in here?
All right. Put us to rest right now.
You're like a politician here, misrepresenting everything. I believe, so there's clarity here on your podcast listened to by tens of thousands on the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast Network.
And you believe, this belief is based on your elaborate.
Put your mic back to where it was.
Elaborate.
Your elaborate interactions with sources of information. Elaborate. Continue.
And the asterisk is, if nothing happens to the Bucks running game, that's out of the ordinary as far as Charles Sims going down, any of these guys going down, there's only three running backs. Do I think Martin comes back if somebody's hurt? Yes, I do. Sure.
What if the running game is
I think the running game is okay and everybody's healthy. I don't think he comes back unless there's some sort of unique situation. So now we have some clarity, Ira. But let's go to week five. Doug Martin, if he comes back for that week five, against New England. That's a Thursday night game. You know what that means? That means there's no padded practice during the week. They don't practice in pads on a short week. So Doug Martin comes in. He doesn't even get a practice. He's not even putting pads on. He's just going to go walk through.
He hasn't been hitting it in 2 months.
He hasn't hit anybody in 5 weeks at that point. He walks in and gets a walkthrough. They're going to hand him the ball against the Patriots. In the bright lights, no less. I don't even think he would really necessarily get more than a couple of carries in that first game if he comes back.
So you don't think Cutter would use that as gamesmanship against Belichick? Make Belichick practice against two running backs. Prepare for two different running backs.
You know, look, Steve's been very consistent. You know, it's the only thing he's been consistent about while we're doing these podcasts.
Outside of him taking notes to go after you.
Outside of him thinking about gelato is, you know, that Doug Martin's not going to be part of this team. I'm not saying he's wrong.
No.
But I'm not as adamant about it as Izbitz is because I'm not as convinced that the Bucs are going to run the ball well in the first 3 weeks.
Well, I'm going to defend Steve. As soon as the team comes out and says Doug Martin's on the team, then I'll believe it.
Then you'll believe it.
Yeah, they've yet to do that. So the door is open for doubt. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough.
It'll be interesting, Kaufman. All right, now we've gotten your take on the bye. Of course, we all want to wish you well through Hurricane Irma. We don't know what's going to happen.
Thank you.
We all plan to be out there Saturday at the
And we all live in different parts of the Bay Area.
We do. We cover the Bay Area like a glove.
Absolutely.
But I think it looks pretty good, especially for our Saturday event and for the Tampa Bay Area. But again, I'm not a meteorologist, as you so eloquently told me. Thank
you're
you.
You're more Paul Delgado than Dennis Phillips, is what you're saying.
Delgado, big Buck fan. Buck fan.
All right. So, Ira, fast forward here.
They're coming
Swaggy.
Back Monday.
Let's go to Swaggy.
Oh, Swaggy.
Baker. Swaggy goes on Twitter.
And how long did that take, Steve?
He's upset about this bye week. He's basically saying the NFL's not thinking about player safety. And he comes out and says that these people who are mad at him, they don't understand medicating yourself all week long just to play on Sunday. What did you make of that?
First of all, if I'm Dirk Cutter, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it because it's an early crack, you know, that you're not unified and staying focused. And of all people, who's saying it? You know, for Swaggy to say that the NFL is not worried about player safety when the impetus behind this decision is all about safety. Safety of the family, safety of the players. Look, I don't want to pick on Chris Baker because I've already taken some heat that I've been too rough on Chris Baker. All I can say is...
It's not been unfair.
You better show up against the Bears, Swaggy, because I'm going to have my binos right on you all day long.
Steve, just prior to us recording this podcast, you had to step out to answer a text, and Ira and I were talking about this very subject, and I said to Ira, who could have predicted who would have been the first player to whine about this? Of course it was Swaggy. I mean, that was so predictable, it wasn't even funny. That, of all people, it was Swaggy. But Ira, that's a great point. You got a guy publicly whining about this already, and Cutter wants to put the kibosh on that. No, shut it down.
I wouldn't be surprised if Cutter has a little chat with Chris Baker going forward. I don't want to hear about the rescheduled bye week. I don't want to hear about it, and I don't want to hear about it from you publicly.
You know, what Chris Baker is saying, I don't discount that at all. You know, I've heard Jerome Bettis talk about, and I'm not saying, you know, Baker takes the beating that Jerome Bettis did, and I think Bettis might have been older than Baker is currently. Was Baker's 30, if I remember right?
I think so.
Well, they were close. What I'm going to say is I heard Bettis say one time that his last 3 or 4 years with the Steelers, he was so beat up that his bedroom, you know, he had a two-story bedroom or a two-story house. He was so beat up, he could not walk the stairs to his bedroom until Wednesday. He slept on the couch in the living room. And so I don't discount what Baker's saying, but again, big picture here, people are going to lose their lives that hurricane hits. You know, what's worse, you having to go to a chiropractor or needing some Ben Gay on your knee as opposed to lives being lost? Come on.
Steve, I want to drop a nugget on our listeners. May I?
Sure, I
am. And you haven't even heard the full story, but at last week's Redskins preseason game, which, by the way, top three worst Buck games of all time. Top three.
What an event that was.
What an event.
It was painful.
To me, the highlight came before the game, Lee, when I had
the spread?
I had a chat with Mr. Bruce Allen.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they had the chicken wings or something.
Let me give a little background because our listeners love this inside stuff. I didn't get along very well with Allen while he was a GM of the Bucks because I didn't think he was very good at selecting talent. And I think he had a bad effect on Gruden, and he fed Gruden's paranoia, which which from a media perspective, we didn't need.
And Bruce Allen's paranoid to begin with.
Yeah. But Bruce Allen is very big on the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
He loves NFL films. He loves the Sables. So when I was picked to give the presentation about Ed Sable, this is a true story. I believe the game was going to be the next day in Jerry's World, which had opened the year before. That was the year that Ed Sable was a finalist.
Okay.
And he was a 95-year-old finalist. Mm-hmm. I figured I got one shot to get there. There was a lot of pressure.
Yeah, he passed 2 years later, right?
Didn't you go to high school with him?
Never mind that. And so, you know, I had my speech all prepared. I had great stuff from John Madden talking about the history of the league. We got no history if there wasn't for Ed Sable, you know. And he was representing Steve Sable in NFL Films. And I'm in my hotel room, you know, in Fort Worth or wherever I was. And it was the night before. It was Friday night. And Saturday was going to be the meeting. And Sunday was going to be a Super Bowl.
Oh, meeting on this game. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I hit the sheets.
Okay.
Steve, I hit the sheets about 11:30. You know, I gotta be ready because we gotta be at the meeting at 7 in the morning.
Keep it be a fresh flower the next morning.
I gotta be ready to make my speech in front of Peter King. I gotta be ready. And midnight, my phone rings. My cell phone rang at midnight. And I answer it. It's Bruce Allen. What's up, Bruce? Kaufman, I just want to give you a little bit of advice because I know you're making a presentation in Ed Sable's behalf tomorrow, and it's very important that I impart these words to you of encouragement. All right, Bruce, what do you got? Don't F this up, Kaufman. Click. That's all he said. Don't F this up. And with that charge, I went into that room and talked about Muriel Berkowitz and how an NFL film screwed my
years
of puberty.
My
romantic endeavors. Anyway, ever since that day that Ed Sable was inducted, Bruce Allen has looked at me in a fresh light.
Really?
With more respect.
Wow.
More respect. Before, I was just one of these media plebes, you know, a distraction. But I actually did something that he appreciated. So, you know, I've gotten along good with Bruce Allen. I was talking to him before the Redskin game last week. And I brought up Swaggy a little bit, you know. And he goes, yeah, he'll get the job done. He's a better pass rusher than he is a run stuffer.
Really?
That surprised me. That surprised me.
Wow.
Because Gerald McCoy told me the day before that he's going to really help our rush defense.
Interesting.
Anyway, I brought up DeSean Jackson. And as soon as I mentioned DeSean Jackson, Bruce Allen couldn't stop talking about what a elite player he is.
No kidding.
Good locker room guy. Not a diva along the lines of some of the divas that we think about.
Mm-hmm.
And just raved about him as a player. Just said the guy is an incredible guy to make adjustments on these long passes. It echoed, Steve, a lot of what Andy Reid said to me at the NFL meetings when I survived Isbitt's driving in Phoenix. You know, Andy Reid, I was asking him about DeSean Jackson because he had him in Philly. And Andy Reid talked about, you know, some of these fast guys, they run in a straight line. They can't make adjustments to the ball in the air. Jackson is outstanding.
Oh, yeah,
regard.
You've seen that in training camp, yeah.
Yeah, and Allen talked about the same thing. He thinks he's going to have a huge impact, not only, you know, with his production, but taking some heat off Mike Evans. So, you know, usually when a guy leaves a team as a free agent, sometimes they bash the guy,
yeah.
You know, because they don't want to lose him.
Mm-hmm.
He had nothing but praise about DeSean Jackson. And Bruce Allen doesn't talk about a lot of guys like that. I think Buck fans are in for a treat.
I got a couple things to say about that, but really quick, I got a Bruce Allen story for you. When you said Bruce Allen called you at midnight, it reminded me of one of my
favorite... Don't F this up, Kaufman, and he hung up.
It reminded me of one of my favorite Steve Dumick stories. Steve Dumick said he was at a watering hole one night, and it was past midnight. His phone rings. Bruce Allen's on the phone.
Allen the GM of the Bucks at the time?
Yes. Dumick picks up the phone. Hey, Bruce, how you doing? Wasn't Bruce Allen. Hey, you with me? It was Chucky. Chucky drunk dialed Dumig. Chucky and Bruce Allen were out on the town, and I guess Bruce Allen had to take care of business in the little boy's room. Gruden picks up Bruce Allen's phone, scrolls through the contacts, sees Dumig, drunk dials Dumig.
Wow.
Dumig, again, you know, Bruce Allen's calling me. He goes, hey, Bruce, how you doing? Hey, you with me? This is John.
That might top my story over there, Ispitz. I don't like the Kemper topping me over there. Next time, I'm going to go after the Kemper. Not before the Kemper.
Now, here's my 2 points about what Bruce Allen told you about DeSean Jackson. The one thing that just jumped out and screamed at me was, if Bruce Allen's raving about DeSean Jackson, why the hell didn't he sign him, number one?
Jackson probably wanted to leave. That's my answer.
Which brings me to number two. We know from Jason Light, DeSean Jackson turned down more money from other teams because he wanted to play with Jameis.
The Jameis factor again, Mr. Ispitz, front and center.
Yeah, we learned that on Hard Knocks. Jason Light said that. However, it could have been spin. You know, maybe he was offered 10% more in California, but they were going to tax him 15%.
And DeSean, you know, also said it, but that could be spin too.
Yeah, you just don't know for sure. But I mean, I believe Jason that he was offered more, but it might have been less once you factor in the no sales, state tax and all that. But it is interesting. It begs the question, hey, Bruce Allen, well then, you guys are on the doorstep of the playoffs. Why don't you keep this incredible receiver who's such a great locker room guy for your quarterback that you can't sign? But
maybe, you know, Jackson was not going to re-sign with the Redskins. Maybe that's the way it was Allen looked at it.
Yeah, could be. You know? We don't know. And yeah. You know, considering they liked him that much, they didn't throw him under the bus. So, you know, it's good to hear, comforting for Bucs fans.
It is.
So when Allen called you at midnight, is that midnight Central time or is that midnight Eastern time?
It was midnight Dallas time. So it was midnight Central.
Nasty.
Time.
Can we call him now just to...
No, we're going to wait till midnight. Then we're going to call.
There you go. Before I forget, I want to let everybody know Sunday, you will be on 10:30 a.m. Scott Smith's Tailgate Sunday on Fox 13.
That is up in the air, Steve.
It's up in the air. Okay.
Since the Bucs don't play, I'm not sure that Fox 13 is going to have a pregame show. Also, they might be wanting to do weather updates at that time.
Yeah.
So that's very iffy at this
Stay
time.
Stay tuned regardless. Why not?
But on Wednesday, I did start with the Mad Dog. That is correct.
Regardless, you know what? Since Fox 13 is going to be having you on all season, tune in to Fox 13 at 10:30 Sunday. See what happens. If Ira's there, great. If not, he'll be there the following week and every Sunday at 10:30 with Scott Smith.
And I know this for a fact that you just said you're on with Chris Russo every Wednesday afternoon at 5. And for those who listen to something else, whether it be Rock Rally or whomever, as I always do, you can get it on the Sirius XM app. They record your interview
that's
for a couple days there.
Outstanding.
So you've got 48 hours to listen to Ira with Russo if you can't make it at 5.
And this, you know, this is Russo's chance when I say Mike Evans is going to have a hell of a year and he's going to be an All-Pro and Russo's going to say, who's Mike Evans? So I'm going to have to school Russo.
You going
to
get him worked up about McCoy again?
Oh, him and McCoy, man. When's he going to make a tackle, he says to me last year.
All right.
Come on, Steve.
All right. So,
anyway, we're looking Sunday. Forward to this Saturday event.
I have a big announcement. Yeah. I've got a big announcement.
Drum roll.
A big announcement. Now, starting Friday, big announcement. Starting Friday, Ira's going to be picking every Bucs game. You know what? This Friday, as we'll have a little business meeting on the air here, Ira. Since there's no Bucs game this weekend, why don't you just pick the Bears game? Bears Atlanta, give us a pick. And
thought I was picking every game, Steve.
Well, as your feature, you'll have a feature.
Oh, as my
pick.
Feature,
as your feature.
Yeah.
So look at the Bears and Atlanta game. Give
I
us a score.
I can wax eloquently on Mike Glennon.
Give us a score. You know these teams pretty well, but you're going to be picking every game that's not on Thursday night
against the spread.
Against the spread, I'm going to be sending you spreads on Wednesday night, and you're going to pick against the spread for your Friday column. This season, I have confirmed, Ira. If you go 53% or better, 53% or better in your picks, not 52.8%.
Oh, I can't wait for the end of this.
53% or better, you will get a $500 worth of gift cards to Abe's Place in Clearwater. $500.
Where does he come up with the 53%?
So you've got to hit
53%. Now he's a mathematician instead of a meteorologist, Lee.
So now you've got...
That's a high mark.
Now you got some juice.
Got some juice.
And we know the great food at Abe's. That's a lot of food. That's a lot of quality food. And
wow.
That's a lot of action.
I could have like a birthday party at Abe's and invite three of my closest friends.
You could be a big spender and still have $400 left.
Thank
over.
You, Steve. Much appreciated.
So how about that, Ira?
Wow, that gives me a lot of motivation to try to get this thing right.
Just a little.
And by the way, this is the first week of fantasy football, Steve, from that league. And I looked over my roster, and You know, I got a thing, a computer checked my roster, and they got me going 3-10, Lee. 3-10. Ouch. That's not 53%. Let me throw that out there.
It's your season projection. Well, you know what? If you have any Bucks, you got to make sure. If your Bucks and Dolphins are in there, you got to get on your waiver wire. All right. But just so there's no confusion, this does not include playoffs. We're talking regular 53%. Season.
53%.
Regular season. You hit
not picking the Thursday games.
Not picking Thursday games. You got to hit the 53% mark. We're going to keep track on the site. We'll talk about it also here, and Ira's going to share his results on Twitter, and you can harass him or egg him on, help him. I'm sure he could use some help with some picks as well. So
suppose I go 2-13 opening weekend, Lee. I'm up against it.
Well, I'll just give you some support here and some encouragement. Didn't John McKay go 0-13 at home games? His first 13 home games went 0-13. Well, more than that. What was it? 0-13?
Well, the Bucs lost their first 26 games.
Yeah, so he went 0-13. His first, he went 0-13 at home, and he still wound up with a better home record than Lovie Smith.
My, there you go. You know what's going to be
another shot at Lovie Smith.
You know what's going to be great. My hope with this, Ira, is of course we're rooting for you to win. But my hope is that this goes down to the final week and you got to go 5-10 or whatever, 5-11, whatever it is. I think that's going
to
be fantastic.
I'm going to pick the Bucks every week to beat the spread. Lee, how do you like that? Every week.
All right, Ira.
And don't forget about our event on Saturday. Steve,
event on Saturday. It's all the details at joebucksfan.com. Now, just a couple of quick things, Ira. Hard Knocks. We're just going to hit on one topic on Hard Knocks. Of course, the season, 5-episode season ended on Tuesday night. And I know you wanted to talk about Jeremy McNichols. We learned that the Buccaneers wanted Jeremy McNichols to return. They evaluated him. Dirk Cutter had nice things to say. Jason Light obviously was in on the deal. And McNichols said no thanks, and he's with the 49ers. So what'd you make of that? All of that mixed all
well,
that
stuff. Buck fans don't like it. I don't think the Kemper likes it, Steve, but I'm going to look at the other side. McNichols says he's got a chip on his shoulder. He thinks he should have made the 53. He was coming back from an injury. He missed a lot of time in the spring. And he doesn't think he was treated fairly by the Bucs. Doesn't have any allegiance to Jason Light at that point because he didn't make the team. And once you release a guy, you know, the guy can sign wherever he wants. And it's a sign, really, of what you think of the guy. You know, and is he supposed to jump for joy that he's on the practice squad? So he made a clean break at one buck. I'm not rooting against Jeremy McNichols. Lee, from his standpoint, he had every right to do what he did.
He had every right to do it. I got into it a little bit with the guy on Twitter last night. I will argue he had a better chance of making the Bucs than the 49ers. You know how down I am on the Bucs running backs. San Francisco has Carlos Hyde. I'll take him over Doug Martin. Yes, I said that. I'll take him over Doug Martin, least of which is he's only got 3 years under his belt. Martin's pushing 29. It just smelled to me. He came across smelling like a quitter. He was in the room. They put the contract on the table in front of him. No, I'm going to San Francisco. And his big issue was he couldn't learn the playbook. So now he's got to start from scratch with Kyle Shanahan. Good luck with that. The thing about that irked me more than anything, if he really believes he got the shaft with the Bucs, I saw with my own eyes him practicing with the first team the first 2 days of practice, training camp. So it wasn't, I mean, a rookie, a fifth-round pick, you're already with the first team practicing? That doesn't sound like the shaft to me. Sounds like he didn't earn it. We saw with Hard Knocks he couldn't learn the playbook. It just came across. Two things that episode related to McNichols. One was McNichols, I thought, came across bad, smelled like a quitter. And the other one was Bobo Wilson bolts out of this place. They told him, hang around. We want you on the practice squad. He goes to Miami, and they call him up. They had no idea he was in Miami. They said, you got come back in the office in an hour. I'm in Miami. And Jason Light saying, basically ordering Shelton Quarles, this guy's not in here at 1 o'clock tomorrow. He's out.
Steve, McNichols never earned the trust of Dirk Cutter. I think that's fair to say. And McNichols sensed that. He knew it. And he figured, let me start with a new regime in San Francisco.
Well, here's why I don't like Hard Knocks. Because we're getting tiny little pieces of a very big puzzle, and we're being led to believe stuff by the creative editing. And I'm going to go back to your sage take here, Ira. And this illustrates it. I'm not ripping your ethics and personally or anything like that. You just said, quote, McNichols doesn't think he was treated fairly by the Bucs. We don't know that at all. We have no clue whether that's true or not.
I was just
said he's got a chip on his shoulder.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know that.
He wanted to go back to Cali.
I mean, we don't know that either. I mean, we just know that he, look, when a guy gets cut, what does he do? If he knows what he's doing, and clearly he's being advised by a guy, Snoop, who's in the business, who probably set him up with an agent, you know, that Snoop knew, as an example. But you know what? You get cut, you call your agent, right? Or usually the
what
team.
What are my options?
Or the team, usually as a courtesy, Jason Light's team, personnel team, they let all the agents know that when a guy's getting cut. So the agents are in the loop, and that's how they keep good relationships. So his agent might have said, I got other opportunities for you. And then, you know, and just because he, I mean, look at it this way. McNichols actually, what we saw in Hard Knocks, he came into the building to say, I'm not signing. That's class. A lot of guys would be like, I'm out of there.
I'm out of here.
I'll pick up my stuff whenever. He actually came in to talk to the guys and say, I'm not signing, and talk to them and whatnot. I thought that was a class move by him. And we don't know what the situation was in San Francisco. So it's just Hard Knocks twists everything to make a guy look bad sometimes when we don't really know, good or bad. All I know is what I do know fact-wise, Dirk Cutter told the guy, I like you. I think you can play in this league. I'm on you because I like you and I appreciate it. I think if he was, you know, a lazy jerk off, they wouldn't want him in the building.
You could do a lot of stuff with creative editing.
They wouldn't want him in the building. Really, I just think, if he was lazy, they wouldn't want him in the building.
The funny one about was, to me, Bobo Wilson when he bolts to Miami and Cutter telling Todd Monk, and he's like, we'll bring Dante Dye back in here.
Yeah,
and on the flip side, there's Bobo, right? 2 weeks ago, we all thought this guy's an attitude head case. Well, you know what? So he spouts off to a teammate, so he's a little bit of a hothead. You know, it doesn't mean he isn't working his ass off.
Then he makes a few plays.
Yeah, and here he is. And now, you know, he's getting a shot. And it's just interesting, the whole Hard Knocks thing. McNichols, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Here's another homework assignment for you. I didn't check your other homework to listen to Chris Myers. We'll talk about that interview next week. Maybe ask John Lynch what they're paying him, what they think of McNichols. He'll tell you.
Is it a stretch to think John Lynch talked to Rondé Barber about Jeremy McNichols? I don't think so.
Not a stretch at all.
Not a stretch at all.
No. I mean, Rondé saw a lot of practices. And
if Rondé thought McNichols had a bad attitude, he would have told him.
Well, obviously, Lynch knows that Rondé and Light are tight.
Well, look, if the Bucks thought that he had a bad attitude, they wouldn't have brought him back or wanted to.
Yeah.
It really seemed to take Light by surprise. But, again, we're just watching creative editing. It's interesting. But now the Bucks have three running backs. And what makes this whole end of the – or this whole bye week thing interesting is in the NFL, I believe – if you hire a veteran, you sign a veteran after week one, then the contract isn't guaranteed. I'm 90% sure that's true, which is why they waited last year to sign Jaquizz Rodgers and others, and it's happened before. Now the Bucks, they won't even play until after week one. They could sign a guy and still bring him in after this bye week time off.
And not be committed financially.
And not be committed financially. You know, I don't know. You never know who's going to drop off. It makes it interesting. All right, Kaufman, any parting words, any sage wisdom, any thoughts for your people?
Yes. Very simply put, stay safe, people. Be prepared. Listen to the alerts. And take the storm very seriously. And I hope, Steve, when we talk again next week, that we avoided a catastrophic storm.
And for the folks, you know, our next podcast is Tuesday. Depending on how things shake out with the weather, it might not be Tuesday. Calm down. Stay calm. Maybe we might have to tape on Tuesday for a late Tuesday posting or for Wednesday, something like that. Everybody stay safe.
Can I remind people the most important necessity this weekend?
With beer.
I was going to say alcohol.
Beer.
Beer.
You know, it cracks me up. I was at a store the other night. Just a quick story. I was at the store. You know, I can't find any water. No, some people are freaking out needlessly, way in advance, in my opinion. Anyway, so it's like they're freaking out. And it's like, okay, you won't buy water. I'm like thinking, are you diabetic or something? Why don't you just buy the Gatorade that's right there? You know, don't die because you don't have water when you can drink, you know, a diet something or whatever. It's
absolutely.
Like, but they leave that on the shelf. I don't get that.
Two quick ones about that. I found water at a hardware store. So there's, you know, think outside the box.
Nice.
Number two, you could do this. I bought 2 5-gallon buckets. If you keep the buckets clean,
fill them up
with water. Yeah. So if you don't find bottled water, you still have water.
I just don't understand. Buy something else in a plastic bottle. Come on.
It's a mob panic mentality.
A little apple juice, you know, some juice boxes or something.
You know, a little right. Manischewitz.
Yeah, there you go. Ira's got his bottles of Riesling and it's all set. iTunes. Find Ira Kaufman's podcast on iTunes. Podbean. You can subscribe. There's many other methods. Keep listening to Ira. You know, if you don't want to hear the latest storm update, just tune in Ira. There you go. So, all right, Kaufman, get out of here. Be safe. We'll see you Saturday at the Big Ed Morse event.